All right, turn with me, since we're in Matthew here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. And let's see here. Do I want to read any preceding verses or not here? Yeah. I'm focusing on verses 24 to 27, which is the parable of the wise and foolish builders, if you're keeping track. Okay, this is the parable of the wise and foolish builders. But you can set where this is, where Jesus is here. Let's go all the way back to verse 21. Now, this is the Lord speaking again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonders. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as scribes. Remember we looked at the parable? Yes?
After hearing this, made me think of what happened today or a couple days ago in those five states, the tornado that demolished cities totally. Isn't that God speaking to us? I'm not saying that the people that were injured or killed, they could have been Christians, but I think that's a sign. They say it's never happened that a tornado traveled like 200 miles and cause so much destruction.
Well, you got to be careful. We live in a fallen world. The world has been cursed. And I know when 9/11 occurred, you know, there was a lot of discussion. Is this God judging us? Is this him trying to speak to us? He's always trying to speak to us, you know? And if the Holy Spirit is working in you, then these things can draw you closer to him, as they should. You know, you should see your need for a Savior every time these things happen and your dependence on him, knowing that this life is short and that he can call you home at any time. But whether this specific incident was, you know, an act of God, we don't know. You know, it's too hard to say. We don't know. Our response to it is telling, no. You know, our response is, how do you respond to these things? But whether the specific event was done by God for a specific person, we don't know exactly how God's working out his plan. Is that?
I read it as like it's a warning.
Well, there's a lot of warnings, though, isn't there?
Yeah.
What do you think about the pandemic? Is that a warning?
There's been a lot of pandemics over the years.
There has been.
All these different ones.
Yeah. How many warnings do people need, right?
Right.
So many.
Yeah.
What? The writing's on the wall.
Isn't it? The handwriting is on the wall. God's been warning people since the beginning, right? But man's heart is in darkness. He doesn't want the light. Here's Jesus saying, will you accept me to be your beloved Lord and Savior? Will you accept me as your bridegroom? And all you have to do as the bride is say, yes, Lord, I do accept you to be my my bridegroom. You know, that's all you have to do. And he's asking and asking and asking. You know, and all these tragic events over time. I mean, think of the tragedy of World War I and World War II. Look what happened to the Jews. 6 million of them were brutally murdered under Satan's direction. Shouldn't that have been a wake-up call to the Jews? So God is like, he's putting sign after sign after sign out there, you know, and how do you respond to all these signs? More than half the people, because broad is the way to destruction and narrow is the gate that leads to heaven, okay? More people will look at that and say, huh, if there really was a God, we wouldn't be having all these things. How can you believe in a God that's allowing the World Trade Center or this pandemic to happen, right? That's what the people that the God deniers are going to be saving, but the saved or the people whose God is working in their hearts are going to look at it and say, guys, you need to wake up. How many times does God have to send you a note saying, you know, you better repent for the kingdom of God is at hand? How many times do I have to tell you over and over again? You know?
I know there's a lot of tragedy happening, but, you know, to me, it's like touching people's hearts, their minds, their spirits. There's so much love out there if you just look for it. And I have, you know, because when I see these tragedies, I'm so sad for the people. I mean, you know, like they say on TV, they lost their mother, their father, their
husband, their wife, their kids.
Everything they've had.
Right, everything.
And they have to start all over again. But you know, there's so many organizations and Christian people and people that, I don't know if they want to call them Christians or whatever, because I'm not judging, but there's so many out there that help.
Yeah, that's one of the, remember I said there's two ways you can approach this. That's the positive way. You know, the negative way is some people are going, it's going to push them away from God.
Well, you know, like Kemp said, I remember when we were hiding under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine.
There you go. Remember that song?
Yeah, it's neat when you get taught from the beginning and you continue to go on.
Amen. Thanks for sharing that. Okay. All right, so now we have a new parable here. And what is Jesus talking about when he's talking about building the house? You guys contractors? And here he is throwing it out there. He's talking about house building here, okay? Are you an engineer? Do you know which soil is good? What is Jesus talking about? So let's look at it. Now, multitudes of people at this point in time had been attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ because not only of his words, but of his works. His new look at Scripture, we just looked at his new look at Scripture, right? The Beatitudes, you know, that's how God looks at you. His new look at Scripture and the miracles he performed aroused a great stir in the land, especially the one where he was saying, the kingdom of heaven is near. Most in attendance at these gatherings knew from the Old Testament that righteousness was a requirement for entrance into the Messiah's kingdom. We just talked about that. The only righteousness that they were familiar with, however, was that was practiced by the Pharisees. The Pharisees. And they felt, a lot of the people felt in their hearts, that following that set of rules that the Pharisees had come up with over time did not satisfy God's righteous demands. Jesus just talked about it in the Beatitudes. And they were concerned for their eternal souls. And that it was not enough to enter their life that they were living was not enough to get them into the kingdom of God that Jesus was speaking of. And that's the right response. As they came together to hear Jesus speak, they were looking for answers about what was necessary to enter the kingdom of heaven as Jesus was speaking as one with authority, as one who would know. So now it's starting to touch hearts. In presenting the Beatitudes, Christ gave his listeners the characteristics of a righteous person from God's perspective. God looks at the inside, man looks at the outside. He then proceeded to interpret the law they already knew to show God's true perspective. While the Pharisees, on the other hand, were only concerned with external conformity to the law. Christ, however, demanded internal conformity as well. It's your heart that matters. It's your relationship with God that matters. It wasn't just about following a given set of rules, but about having a personal relationship with God from your heart. Jesus' interpretation of the Old Testament scripture went way beyond what the religious leaders of the day were practicing and preaching. Remember, it was a totally new garment. You can't mix the new with the old. Throw out the old and put on the new. You can't patch it. A true relationship with God depends upon not only what you do, but what you think and what you believe in your heart, the deep down real you. That's your heart. To help reveal this truth, he gave guidance as the kind of life that those who are eligible to enter the kingdom of heaven should display. Guess what, guys?
Time's up.
We just ran out of time. But that's a good place to begin next time, isn't it? How in the world could you be righteous enough to get into God's kingdom?
It's incredibly easy.
Because he's done all the work, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to continue there next week, and we're going to look at each one of these verses and break down, you know, what he's talking about building on in a good foundation, what he's talking about building on a poor foundation. But this is sort of a lead up to that. So we did the lead up. Next time we're going to do the dunk and we're going to score the basket. Okay, so let's pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this morning that we could go through your living holy word, knowing this came right from you. This is your word to us. Here in this auditorium in Vineland, New Jersey, you are speaking to us. And we pray that it has found a place in our hearts, that it has drawn us more closely to the Son, and that we can be a church without blemish, holy before the world, a light shining that is not under a bushel, a city set on a hill where all to see. And we pray, Lord, that we can live lives that would be honoring to you, and that you would give us many opportunities to explain to people the truth that you have given to each one of us, that how we can truly come to you. And it's through Jesus Christ our Lord, by accepting the gift that he gave to each one of us, the gift of salvation, the gift of life. And we just thank you for a gift that is truly beyond measure, and a gift that truly goes on giving. So we thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.